And I started this morning a series, a sermon series, this morning, tonight, and next Sunday morning. The title of the series is Cheerful. Say that with me, cheerful. So I want you to be full of cheer. And so let me go ahead to the next slide. Let me go ahead and give you the five times in the Bible that we find the be of good cheer. What we're going to do is hit on the five be of good cheer statements in the Bible. The first one is the one we talked this morning. Be of good cheer. Your sins be forgiven thee. That's the cheer of pardon. Aren't you glad that you're saved this morning? And really, if you're saved and you have a bad, terrible thing to happen, that's bad. But beyond it all, we can still be of good cheer, if for nothing else, that, praise God, our souls are saved. And so be of good cheer. Amen. And then the second one is the one we're going to talk about tonight, is the time when the disciples were in the storm. And it says in Matthew 14:27, it is I, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. That's the cheer of his presence. And then the third one is found in John 16:33, where it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what she just sung about tonight. Isn't it amazing? These songs are just going right into the messages. Amen. That's the cheer of his peace. Amen. Now, if we go to the next slide, you'll find the last two times you find the phrase, be of good cheer. And I really want you to get those be of good cheer. Maybe take these five scriptures and put them on your refrigerator. Maybe I'll do something up and hand them to you next Sunday. Sister Darnell, my secretary, if you'll remind me to do that, I'll do that. Amen. But the next one is when Paul was in the shipwreck, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, and you shall bear witness to me in Rome. That's the cheer of purpose. You may be going through something now, but you're headed to Rome. You're headed to God's plan. Amen. And then the final be of good cheer is said by Paul when he said, sirs, and by the way, that's the cheer of purpose. And then the final one is the cheer of promise. He said, I believe God, and we can believe God's promises. Can you say amen tonight? Five times the Bible says, be of good cheer. Say that with me. Be of good cheer. I want you to be cheerful. So with that in mind, would you stand tonight as we go to our next slide and to turn to Matthew 14, verse 22 through 27, as we talk tonight about the cheer of his presence. The cheer of his presence. I want you to be cheerful before it's all said and done. I know you're going through some stuff, but be of good cheer. Turn around and tell your neighbor that. Be of good cheer. Let's do, as you turn to Matthew chapter 14, let's do pray for Beth. She has the case of the shingles. She was in the emergency room all night last night, and they didn't get home to 4 o'clock in the morning, and Kyle is here tonight. Let's also pray for Sister Bridget's recovery from minor surgery Wednesday. Sister Clara's brother Clarence is going to be operated on tomorrow. We want to remember him. And also, Brother Elam Johnson is going to have stress test Wednesday. So in this prayer over the message, I'm just going to mention these names as well. Father, tonight, we thank you for the singing we've heard. We thank you, Lord, for being in your house on this Sunday night. We thank you for the word of God. And I pray that your word would go forth tonight. And we do pray for Beth tonight, God, that you would bring complete and total healing to her body. We do pray for Clara's brother, Clarence, that's having surgery tomorrow in Richmond, Virginia, that God, you would guide the surgeon's hands, that it would go better than expected. We continue to uphold Bridget Wilson. God, asking, Lord, not only through this surgery, but all the things that have been attacking her body, that God, you would bring a whole and complete healing. Father, we just pray for Brother Elam Wednesday, that God, you would just do a mighty work. Lord, you have overcome. You have overcome the grave, and you've overcome sickness. And we thank you, Lord, that we will wear the victor's crown. And Lord, just have your way in this message. We pray for our pastor and his wife as they vacation these next few days. We'll give you praise for it. And everybody said, amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty and you may be seated tonight. Now, just remember three things in the next slide on all of these messages. When it comes to be of good cheer, just remember three quick things. Number one, that it's a command. It says, be of good cheer. This is not a suggestion. This is not up for debate. We're not going to have a motion and a second. We're not going to vote on it. But when God says do something, you need to do it. Can I get a witness? He is the commander in chief as well as the Heavenly Father. And he said to be of good cheer. Pull yourself together. Lift up your faith. Some of you need a faith lift, not so much a facelift. And believe God and trust God. And in the midst of it all, when you go to work, when things are not looking good, heed the command, be of good cheer. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice in the Lord when? The Bible says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. That's a command. Rejoice in the Lord. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16, we said the shortest verse in the Bible. In the English Bible is John 11:35, Jesus wept. But really, the Bible was not written in English. It was written in Greek. And the shortest verse in the Greek Bible is 1 Thessalonians 5:16, which says this, rejoice evermore. Just simply to the point. The shortest scripture in the original Greek, it is a command. We are going to rejoice. It is a command. Say amen. But it's also a choice. And just because God commands you to do something, we still have to choose to do it. Amen. And we have to choose joy in our situation. The Bible says rejoice in who? The Lord. It didn't say rejoice in what? Meaning your circumstances. We rejoice in the Lord. Circumstances change, but the Lord does not change. It's a command, it's a choice, and it's a course. Because I told you this morning that your day tends to go in the same direction as the corners of your mouth. So if your mouth is going down this way, that's the way your day is probably going to go. And if you're opposite, if your mouth is going up, come on, do it right now. Do a little exercise. Let me see your teeth tonight. If you don't have any teeth, I'll take gums. I'll be fine. Let me see the pearly whites or whatever you got. Rejoice in the Lord, because if you will rejoice in the Lord and if you will have the attitude of gratitude, it will chart the course of your life. It will make a difference in your testimony and in your health sometimes, because a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I want you to know this thing called joy is real. It is the fruit of the Spirit, but it's also a choice. I'm going to set the course for my church, for my family. I'm going to sow the seed of joy, and I'm going to obey God. And in the midst of the storms, I choose to say, Lord, I may not understand how, but I will rejoice in the Lord always. Somebody give Him a hand of praise tonight. Be of good cheer. Amen. Now, the second time we find be of good cheer, we're in the middle of nowhere. We're in the storm of the century. We're in one of the darkest nights of these people's lives. But could it be that in the middle of nowhere, in a storm that's raging, in a dark time, could it be that you hear the words, be of good cheer? Even in that, you better believe it. Why? Because it's the cheer not only of pardon, it's not only the cheer of promise, not only the cheer of His purpose, not only the cheer of His power, but this is the cheer of His presence. Let's go to the next slide. Let's look at, first of all, the problem. The problem. The problem. So Where are we at? Notice, first of all, letter A, their distance from the shore. Notice that the Bible says, if you'll go back to your scripture that I read to you tonight, that they were in the midst of the sea. Somebody say, the midst of the sea. In other words, when all this happened, they were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. They were just as far from one shore as they were from the other shore. They were as far away as you could possibly be from the quickest route to help. I don't believe that's an accident. I believe that in the midst of the sea, that they were at a distance from the shore. And have you ever felt like you were in the middle of all hell breaking loose? Can I get a witness out there? Have you felt sometimes you had a front row ticket to the greatest drama ever produced? Have you ever felt so far away from help, from hope, from rescue, as you could be? Have you, let me get it, bring it down home. Have you ever felt like that God was, listen, we put it in terms like this. Have you ever felt like that God was 1,000 miles away? Now, I didn't say he was, but have you ever felt like it, that he was? Have you ever felt you were right in the middle of a storm, of a crisis? And somebody here tonight, you actually may be right in the middle of divorce. You may be right in the middle of bankruptcy. You may be right in the middle of facing a sickness. But I want to tell you, in the midst of the storm, in the middle of the situation, in the midst of your heartbreak and heartache, be of good cheer. God is up to something. You need to be cheerful because this story ain't over. We're just getting started. And God has a GPS. He had it before they ever created it. He knows right your coordinates. He knows right where you are. He is not 1,000 miles away. Lift up your head. Lift up the corners of your mouth. And know you may be right as far away from human help as possible, but you're just one prayer away from the hand of the Lord and the presence of God. Would you say amen tonight? Not only notice the distance from the shore, notice the direction of the wind. The Bible says that the wind was contrary. Now, what do we mean by that? You've got to understand, this is talking about being in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. These winds, if you go back and study it, it would be the same as having a nor'easter. Now, I don't know if you're as familiar with nor'easters here as we were down at the coast. Several times you would have winds coming from the Atlantic Ocean and they would blow and the storm and it would just bring havoc and the lights would flicker. And this was also, if you'll go back and study it, when I researched this, that these were also tropical storm force winds. Now, please understand, they're in the midst of the sea and you don't want to be in deep water with a nor'easter coming up. That's not what you planned for when you set out for this journey. Can I get an amen? If anybody would have known that those winds would have been contrary, they would have stayed to the shore. But listen, these were experienced fishermen. They were very concerned. Now, it's one thing if an amateur was out there, but it's another thing when you have seaworthy men who know the winds, who know the waves. So I'm trying to get you the picture here that this was no ordinary wind. This was no ordinary storm. It was something that they were experiencing that brought great anxiety and great distress. And they were away from the shore. In fact, somebody said it like this. They were bending their backs to the oars and getting nowhere fast. Have you ever felt like you were bending your back to the oar and getting nowhere fast? So not only notice the distance from the shore and the direction of the wind, but notice the darkness of the night. Because it says that they were in the fourth watch of the night. Do you know that the fourth watch of the night was the darkest season of the night? It is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. There was not a star in the sky. It was pitch black. They couldn't get their moorings, their bearings. Have you ever been in a dark place? Have you ever been in a place where the winds were contrary? Have you ever been in a place where you couldn't see your way out? Have you ever been in the darkest night of your life? If you are in the darkest night of your life, and on top of that, the wind is blowing, and on top of that, you're 1,000 miles from seemingly help, what should you do? Should you worry? Should you... Here's what you should do. Be of good... Well, somebody say glory. Listen, be of good... Brother, you just describe what I'm going through. But listen, be of good cheer. Because Jesus knew what was going to happen before it happened. He was the one who sent them there in the first place. And before you ever get into the darkness, before you ever get to the distance, before you ever deal with the direction of the wind, God already knows. God already is there. Somebody say hallelujah and be of good cheer. Give Him a hand of praise here tonight. He already knew it. Go to the next slide. There's an interesting scripture that one of my favorite scriptures that's also sometimes misquoted, but Isaiah chapter 46 verses 9 through 10. Let's look at that. Remember the former things of old. In other words, don't forget how I brought you through. Don't forget that time you were in a crisis and God made a way. Don't we forget sometimes God's previous answers to prayer when we face a difficulty now? We forget how when we face a difficulty back then, how that God brought us through, and the same God that brought us through yesterday is the same God that will bring us through tomorrow. Say amen. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Now notice this, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, my counsel shall stand. I will do my goodness. I'm about to have a spell up here. God said He was declaring the end from the beginning. Now, I want to illustrate that scripture. The best way I know how to illustrate that scripture is I remember when I was pastoring, when this was Living Waters, and I was pastoring here. It was about 1997, 1998, a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. The Dallas Cowboys were playing in the NFC Championship, and I remember that, you know, I'm a big Dallas Cowboy fan, and I'm a child of the 70s and the 80s. We didn't have the Carolina Panthers growing up, and I just, you know, I'm certainly for the Carolina Panthers. I'm not against them. I was on the bandwagon a few years ago when they were winning a lot. You know, it's a home state. I love Charlotte. Almost pastored a church down there, and I was looking forward to that. That church didn't, I don't particularly like it, but they didn't, at least, they didn't have Sunday night service, but when I got there, they probably would have had it. But I thought, well, my goodness, we'll be able to go see Carolina Panthers play. And some of their board members were season ticket holders. And so I'm okay with Carolina Panthers. But I was a Dallas guy. I still am. Pray for me, folks. I mean, it's a sickness. You can't get rid of it. Dallas Cowboys with all the ups and downs and ins and outs. And I remember that I had set my VCR, folks, for you people 40 and under. That was a big cassette, the tape that was about that big, and you popped it in, and it was a big machine about this, and you could set it up, and it would record things while you were away. So I had set it up to tape the game, and I was going to, Brother Beeman, I was going to watch the game play by play when I got home from church. Well, back then I had a couple of people that were very worldly, and they had gone out to their car. I could call their names. You know who they were. And they had actually listened to the radio broadcast of that game. And before I came out the door, I really didn't want to know who won. I wanted to see it myself. But they spoiled it. They told me that Dallas had won. And I thought, my goodness, I'm glad they won, but I really wanted to see it myself. Y'all with me tonight? And so I thought, well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to watch it anyway. And Brother Elam, I cut on that VCR tape and I leaned back in the recliner. We had the parsonage was down here on Flowers Drive at the time, and church was over. It's about 9 o'clock at night, and I started watching that game. Keep in mind, I already knew who was going to win. But would you believe, I'm so glad I watched that game, because let me tell you, for a long time, it did not look like the team I was pulling for was going to win. They got way down in the points. I mean, they had some key players to get hurt. One of the players was hopping off the field. I thought, my God, they're going to lose this game. And then I see the quarterback throw, Troy Aikman, by the way, throw, and there was an interception. And I want you to know, I'm like, my goodness. And then I saw where they'd get in the red zone and on third and downs, and then they couldn't convert, and they'd kick the ball, and the ball went on the other side, and I thought, they are never going to win. But in the back of my mind, sister, I had already knew that they were going to win. But when I'm watching that tape, it didn't look like very good. There were some injuries on the field. There were some yards going the opposite direction. But let me tell you, as I fast forward through those commercials and got on down to that fourth quarter and down to the last 4 or 5 minutes, I want you to know things started to turn around. And old Troy did his magic, and they threw those balls, made the, oh my God, I'm about to shout again. And probably for the wrong reason. I'm like, God, do it again in Dallas. Oh, but let me tell you know what the deal was? I knew the end from the beginning. And my friend, you may have some injuries, and you may go backwards a little bit, but it ain't over yet, because he said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. We're going to win in the game of life. Somebody give him a hand of praise. Well, hallelujah. Thank God. It may be looking bad right now, but he is here. So number one, notice the problem. And then next slide, notice the phantom. The phantom. Because they're in total darkness. And they see something, or is it someone, walking on the water. Now, folks, we've read the Bible a lot. And we have got to put, I want you to put yourself in their position. These are men who are seafaring men. They know their stuff, but they are, it's out of their league. They're out of their expertise. And it's dark. But somebody sees something, and could it be someone? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I bet you they had a holy freak out. Can you imagine seeing a human being walking on the water? And I want you to imagine, oh my goodness, oh my, I'm sure one of them said, you must be drinking. No, I see it too. And they are looking, and it is frightening, and it is bad, and it is terrible. But it was not a phantom. It was not a ghost. Hallelujah. It was Jesus, the Son of the living God. And can you imagine when all of a sudden they looked and were afraid already, and now they're really afraid. But then can you imagine what it was like when someone said, no, it's the Lord. He's walking on the water. He is our rescue. He is the anchor. Thank God he has not left us or forsaken us. He has personally showed up. And glory be to God, in the darkest moments of our lives, look out and look up. Jesus Christ is here. Be of good cheer. Somebody say amen. Some of us are like the man on the airplane who looked out of the window on one of those big jets about 35,000 feet in the air. The engines were on fire and he panicked. And he said to the man next to him, do you see what's out there? The engines are on fire. And he let out a scream. The engines are on fire. And fear spread through the passengers. And suddenly the captain shows up at the door of the cabin. And he's got a great big parachute on his back. And he says, "Don't worry, folks." With the parachute on his back, he said, "Don't worry, I'm going for help." That's not Jesus. He's not going to bail out on you, is he? Go to the next slide. Let me tell you something. Sometimes he doesn't always get us out of trouble. We want him to get us out of trouble. But I'll tell you this. He might not get you out of trouble, but he will get into trouble with us. I said he won't always take you out of trouble, but he'll always meet you in the trouble. He won't get you out of trouble, but he'll always get in trouble with you. Did you hear what it said? He'll get in trouble with you. You know what that's saying on the next slide? He is the eye of the storm. Now, we know what we call the meteorological eye of the storm. There's that big whipping wind hurricane that's covered about five states and half of the Atlantic. And right in the middle, there's that eye. And in that eye is peace and calm. And we call it the eye of the storm. My friend, I'm here to tell you, we have an eye in the storm. You need to be of good cheer, though you're in the darkest, though you're in the distance, though you're in the worst place of your life or may be going to it. Please understand that you can let the corners of your mouth go up because he is seeing and he is watching and he may not get you out of trouble. But brother, you can make it when he gets in trouble with you. Would somebody say amen tonight? The eye of a storm is watching you in your pain. He's watching you in your difficulty. He's watching when you're mistreated. Amen. You know, I work at Best Buy, and I love my job. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I love it for many reasons. But every now and then, you know, we're in sales. And every now and then, as all people, we've all got to make numbers and productivity and we don't make commission, but we have to sell a certain amount to, you know, keep things going. And we're under pressure. Every now and then, one of my coworkers will put a fast one on me. And they'll steal a sale from me. And they'll cut me off. And so I'm just like anybody else here. When somebody does me wrong or when somebody gets my sales, I would like to say to you that I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and it don't bother me a bit, but I'll tell you what, it burns me up. Fires me, gets me fired up. Man, I can't believe they stole my sale. I can't, how dare they? And then they in the break room like, "How's your day been?" And I'm like, I want to knock them upside the head. I'm just telling you. Excuse me, I got to pray. I felt a bad spirit. Come on. I'm telling you, I'm just as human as anybody. I'm a God. If I can't preach tonight, if it weren't for the grace of God, I'm going to tell you. And really, no preacher is just like you and I. Now, we should honor the preachers and respect the pastors because they have that calling on their life and that anointing on their life. But I'm going to tell you, we're all human. Amen. But I can say by God's grace, Brother Kyle, I can say that when people cut me off, I just hold my peace, Brother Clark. And I just pray for them. And I want you to know, sometimes they don't look good, but I've seen the times when they would steal a sale from me. And when I leave work that night and I look up on the board, guess what? I got more, many times more than they've got. Sometimes I have less, but it ain't based on the day. It's based on the month. And I've yet to see some of those people. Listen, God is not going to let people do you wrong, but for a purpose. You see, I have to grow through that bad spirit. I have to grow through that. I have to show love when people, that's where Christianity comes in. It's not always hitting my sales every day. I got to love those who are cutting me and show the love of Christ and let them know that, hey, you mean it for evil, but God can turn this thing around. The Lord is my shepherd and he is the eye of my my storm, and so while you steal my sails, I'm just going to be of good cheer because God is on the throne tonight. And I'm just telling you how I feel. And I know some of you face the same things out there in the world, in your family, and in your jobs. But listen, don't you walk around mad, and don't you walk around complaining, and don't just have a bad attitude about it. You just lift up your head because He will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Turn around and tell somebody, He's the eye of the storm. The problem. The phantom. And then finally, the proclamation. Notice He said, be of good cheer. In other words, they were afraid. Be of good cheer. What's the rest? It is I. Be not afraid. In fact, I'll tell you this. I told you the Bible was written in Greek and not English. And in the Greek, it's actually even better. It's hard to translate Greek to English. There's some, you lose some nuances. Now, you don't lose the meaning and the power, but there's certain nuances that you don't get in the English. For example, we say the scripture, ask, and it shall be given to you. But in the Greek, it doesn't mean just ask and it shall be given. It means, and it translates, ask, keep on asking and asking and asking, and you'll be receiving and receiving and receiving. And we really can't, it's hard to translate that into the English. So, in the scripture that says, be filled with the Spirit, we read it, be filled with the Spirit. So, okay, I'll be filled with the Spirit. But in the Greek, it really means be always being filled with the Spirit. In other words, be filled today, be filled tomorrow. And so it's good to know the original languages of the Word of God. It's good to check those things out. But when Jesus said in the English, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid, in the Greek, here's how it reads. You ready? Be of good cheer, I am. Somebody say amen. Be of good cheer, I am. Now, do you realize that these were Jews? Do you realize that when He said, I am, that was a big statement? Because we know the I am of Exodus. When Moses said, who? Well, I say, sent me. And you go back and say, I am. That's my name. I am the I am. And here you are, distance from the shore, direction of the wind, discouragement of the night. Here you are in the blackest, darkest night. Here you are. But listen, all of a sudden, look out of nowhere. Here it is. Here He is. I am that I am. I am here, and therefore, you can be of good cheer. He's the great I am. Amen. I am. Whatever you need. If you need peace, He's the I am. If you need the storm calmed, He's the I am. If you need victory, He's the I am. If you need a financial breakthrough, He's the I am. If you need a healing, He's the I am. If you need that loved one saved, He's the I am. If you need deliverance, He's the I am. If you need a miracle, He's the I am. If you need guidance and direction, He's the I am. If you need answers to prayer, He's the I am. If you need salvation, He's the I am. If you need sanctification, the filling of the Holy Spirit, He's the I am. If you need a revival in the church, He is the I am. If you need a breakthrough, He's the I am. Be not afraid. I am. Somebody give Him a hand of praise that He is the I am. To the artist, He's altogether lovely. To the architect, He's the chief cornerstone. To the banker, He's the hidden treasure. To the baker, He is the living bread. To the biologist, He is life. To the builder, He is the sure foundation. To the doctor, He's the great physician. To the educator, He's the great teacher. To the farmer, He is the Lord of the harvest. To the florist, He is the rose of Sharon. To the geologist, He is the rock of ages. To the jurist, he is the righteous judge. To the jeweler, he's the pearl of great price. To the lawyer, he is the advocate. To the publisher, he is the good tidings of great joy. To the philosopher, he is the wisdom of God. To the preacher, he is the word of God. To the sculptor, he is the living stone. To the statesman, he is the desire of all nations. To the theologian, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. To the traveler, he is the new and living way. To the sinner, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. To the Christian, he is the Son of the living God, the Savior, the Redeemer. He is the great I Am. Be of good cheer. Come on and praise the Lord in this house tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Can't nobody do me wrong. Can't no devil in hell touch me. Go ahead and steal my sails. I got the air I am on my side. Oh, somebody give him glory. Praise your way out of this mess. Be cheerful. Rejoice in the Lord always. He knows the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. He's already watched the tape. You haven't, but he has. Say amen tonight. He is the I Am. I am your light in darkness. I am the one who walks on the water. As April sang this morning, these guest solos today have been right on target. You know, when the Lord gives me these messages and then singers sing along, it brings confirmation. Brother Elam Johnson, he's your I Am, brother. And he's coming to you when that heart isn't right. Amen. Praise God. He is the I Am your shield. I am the good shepherd. I am he who was dead, but now I'm alive. Would you stand with me tonight? And you know what I like about the phrase I am? Brother Clark, if you'll come and just get ready to play, because I got one more thing I want to say. I like the fact that, Brother Philip, the I Am is a personal term. He didn't say, I will be, and he will be. He said, I am, personally in your storm. Listen to this, and then I close. During a great earthquake some years ago, the people of the village were frightened. And one old lady was unusually calm and joyous. Now, I just want to stop right there. I've been through hurricanes. And I've been through tornadoes. I'll never forget the tornadoes that hit Westmount, my community where I was raised in 1984. Tore a lot of houses down. It was a night of terror. I'll never forget that night. But I can imagine, Sister Edna, the earthquake. I'm so glad I don't live in California. I don't really intend to go visit there a lot either. I was like, when the wind's blowing, I can find shelter. But when Brother Beeman, that earth is moving, there ain't a whole lot you can do. But let me tell you, this lady, they had an earthquake that hit their village, and this lady kept her calm, and she even kept her joy. She was cheerful. And somebody asked, old woman, aren't you afraid? You know what she answered? She said, no, I'm not afraid. I'm glad to know my God can shake the world. Somebody give him praise. My God. We're all afraid, but it's in the palm of his hands. Go ahead and play, brother. And let's just praise God. And let's just have joy. Let's rejoice tonight. As she sung the victor's crown tonight. He's overcome. He's overcome. And the first song she sung was right on target. If you've got some dry bones you're dealing with. If you've got some things that seem to be dead. If you've got some children that just won't budge. I'm here to tell you, he is the I Am. And you can rejoice and be of good cheer because He has promised that your children will be saved. He has promised to heal. He's promised to deliver. I want you to step out of your seat tonight and I want you to join me at the altar. And we're going to sing in His presence. In His presence. Doesn't matter what somebody says. Doesn't matter what somebody does. I'm going to be of good cheer. Come on tonight. And let's give Him thanks. And let's give Him praise tonight. My God can shake the world. He's the I Am. The cheer of His presence. Oh God, we sense Your presence here tonight. Go ahead and sing it, brother. In His presence, just stand in His presence. Oh, there is joy.
I will linger.
Oh,
I will stay
in His presence day by day.